David Trigg, producer T-Rig.
Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trigg Pasta Joy Goals TV on this beautiful Monday. Yay, it is Monday, last day of July, July 31st, here from the Trigg Studios, Long Beach, California. Welcome back to my channel. This is episode talking about the tortured artist's blessing and gift. The curse of being a creative. If you're a creative, but you got to still pay the bills, but you are a creative and you have to pay the bills. If you're an Enneagram 3 or 4, maybe a 2, you know what I'm talking about. So welcome back, and looking forward to discussing this pretty deep and emotional, and I guess it's a complicated reality for us creatives. So I was listening to Will.i.am, an interview of Will.i.am, talking about guilt, depression, anxiety, creativity, and it just, of course, got me thinking about very similar topics, not only for me, but for all of us creatives, especially in the faith, Jesus space, church people, church leaders, just followers of Jesus, and how I think that creatives, we always are going to get a bad rap. Even among ourselves, we will tend to fight and not get along. But when we do come together, magic happens. Like many of you, I've been a creative my whole life. And I like Will.i.am, who was talking about his mom. And for me, it was very similar as my mom and dad. My dad was a creative. He was a musician, worship leader, pastor, singer, vocalist. I have his record right outside in my studio of him with his headphones and his quartet, his brother, his cousin, and a friend recording in a studio back in 1970. So this is now, what, 50 years ago? Those are the memories that I have of my father, of him being on the cover of his record of vinyl, of course, them there with his family again, with all white shirts, and I think they were brown pants. And they redid all the traditional hymns in modern, with modern technology and instrumentation using electric guitars. I mean, this is 1970 in the church in Nicaragua. I mean, and my uncle, Saul, he was the mastermind behind the whole thing. He was the arranger, the composer, the music genius. My father had all the gifts. First tenor and just a gorgeous voice that people remember to this day. And so it's in my blood. And even before that, I know all of my family on that part of the family, my dad's, were all jewelers, worked with gold and with construction and architects. So you had a lot of creatives. And then by the grace of God, when I was maybe 8 or 9, I paired up with this amazing, these two brothers, the twins, Los Gemelos, that were very skilled guitar players. And so they gave me my first glimpse at high quality guitar playing. And I remember just from there wanting to be like them, and then just coming into my own in, yeah, my teens, and then of course playing in the church for the last 30 years. And Will.i.am was talking about all of these things and how his biggest regret is that he never got married or had children. Now he's 50, and how now he's giving back and he wants to still have kids and wants to still get married. But, you know, it's kind of, it's not too late for a man, obviously, but I mean, he'll be an old dad. I'm 50, but I have 24-year-old kids, and I'm not Will.i.am as far as money or success, but I definitely feel surrounded by love. But at the same time, a lot of the same feelings of not being present enough, not being in the moment, and constantly wanting, it's not even about wanting more. I liked how he was talking about how we are just futurists. If you're a creative type, if you're a 3, we are future-oriented. Our orientation to time is future. And so there are certain personalities, certainly a lot of creatives, that look into the future. Not all, some are past-oriented. But it's one of those things that is a curse. I remember getting into arguments at different churches because I was thinking 10 years ahead. And well, what I was trying to do, let's say in 1999, wasn't it wasn't for the day. It was something that I was seeing that should happen in 2005 or 2010. And so, of course, especially in the church, but really in any organization, that creates a lot of tension because people don't see what you see. And us creatives, we're not really into explaining. We're into creating. Same thing happened to me, I would say, the last 10 years is where I was, again, thinking of the next 10 years, the next 5 years. And people around me were seeing it as, what are we doing right now? And so you have this struggle. I would say my regret, let me actually do something really quick. Excuse me. I would say my regret with music and creativity is maybe not doubling down on it and perhaps moving around too much. And I don't mean moving around in terms of churches or places or cities, but perhaps I would say certainly the last 10, 15 years wanting more. Maybe that's what I mean. I wanted more than just to be a creative. I wanted to be a leader and a top man, and perhaps I didn't have enough of that not authentic, but of that creative juice, perhaps that maybe the amount of creativity that some people seem to have, like Will.i.am and Sting and all these Prince, and I'm not comparing myself to any of those guys, but it seems like perhaps they had more juice. I don't know. Maybe all that happened was meant to happen. Now, in our 50s, for all of us Gen Xers, I grew up with Black Eyed Pea and Will.i.am and all the rest of Fergie. Is that her name? Fergie, yeah. So what are we doing now? I'm not like him. I'm not trying to now have a family, so I'm thankful and grateful. But I think the biggest thing is to not pursue happiness and to have relationships. I think maybe where I relate to him in terms of regrets is not having enough relationships around me. Yeah, I have my beautiful family, my beautiful wife and children, but even that, of course, as I get older, my kids, that is changing. And who am I left with? It's my community. And I don't have a very strong community. I tend to, in my creative mind, tend to move on very quickly to the next thing, because of whatever reasons, probably ambition, and what I compromise for, what I leave behind, the price that I pay is relationship. And in terms of the Enneagram, it's very three, who in an unhealthy place tends to move to the nine, whereas in a good place, he or she should move to the six, which is the more collaborative of all the numbers, very wise, but also very pack oriented. And so I think that is the thing for me to do. It's not goals, or it's not to win more or to be more successful. In many ways, I have all that. But I think it is to, and it's not even to share what I have per se, although I always will love that. But I think it's just simply community. Just simply to commune with more people for no reason, but just to simply be friends, to be connected, to have relationship, to not die alone. Yeah, so I'm going to die with my wife and kids around me, but what about friends and family? Will they say, well, Trig was good, but then he was kind of spiky or itchy or a little off or a little weird or whatever, all true things? Or will they say, yeah, in spite of that, we're good friends? And I'm not saying I don't have any friends, but I think that as I get older, I definitely need to move more towards the six without a purpose. I remember thinking way back for many years, why hang out with this person if there's nothing to gain out of it, for me or for them? Mostly for me, I'm sure. And that's what destroys or takes the air out of a lot of relationships. And it's not always true. I mean, maybe I'm selling myself too short. I've had plenty of friendships where there was genuine love. I mean, even in the last year, genuine love. No money, no reason, no fame, no glory, nothing exchanged except love. And then when those things change, that's why it hurts so much, because I did do it just for love. And yet it seemed like maybe they were doing it for climbing. I don't blame them. They're younger, and so that's part of what young people do. They're climbing the ladder. Whereas we here at 50, we are, as I said, looking for deeper things, relationship, connection. In Will I Am's case, a wife and kids. And so as I look at the things that I'm doing now this month, not ironic, but as a blessing from God, a friend just texted me this morning saying, "Hey, Trey, why don't we bring the band back?" Not a band, but some friends that we used to hang out with at church a few years ago. And he said, "I'll bring the bagels and you bring the coffee." And I said, "Man, let's do it." And what a blessing, I thought. Perfect timing. The other day I was at my nephew's birthday party, and I was talking to some family members that I normally don't talk to. And as our parents' generation dies, because that's what happens too, I realized that for me to have silly things between us as family members is silly. We need to come together and share and learn from each other, because now we are that generation that is young enough and strong enough and wise enough, mostly, to share those gifts with other people and to encourage each other, because it isn't easy at this season of life, here at midlife in our late 40s and early 50s, to know kind of what God is doing. Everything that we used to hold dear, meaning the climb, the ambition, is no longer there. It's not needed. We've had our successes and failures. And plus, we're not going to start a brand new thing here at 50, but yet you have so much energy and passion. And passion seems to no longer be the word that I measure myself against, but more of a connection. It is that six. They call the six, what do they call the six? I have all that stuff here. I love the six. They call the six the loyalists. So be loyal. See, I don't think people would call me loyal. I think they would call me unloyal. They would call me someone who isn't always there, who is maybe there only for a season and then moves on. And in the name of ambition or whatever else, I don't know, the next frontier. And that hurts a lot of people, hurts me. And so I'm trying to fix some of those problems. And I keep making the same mistakes. Even this year, I feel like I made some mistakes of perhaps pursuing greatness instead of being happy with true relationship and true connection and just simply be. And some of those big connections didn't even pan out. And so now I'm left with kind of a little bit of, what do they say, of egg on my face, because maybe I'm learning my lesson again and again. And so very interesting how life hits you and keeps you and maybe molds us towards what we're supposed to do. Another thing that I've been realizing as a creative, and maybe you can relate to, is feelings, and fickle feelings, as Joyce Myers used to call them. And the danger of negative feelings for us, of measuring ourselves. I remember my beautiful mother-in-law, rest in peace, she's with Jesus now, she dealt with a lot of anxiety as well, and she would measure the temperature of her food because she had some tongue issues, and so she was afraid of burning her tongue, and it became a psychosis type of thing, just over hypersensitization, as a book that I'm reading called Hope and Help for Your Nerves calls it hypersensitization. Say that 10 times in a row. But I think that's what I'm doing. When I'm anxious, in these last 2 years have been maybe some of the worst, I don't know, post-pandemic, I guess. The pandemic certainly affected a lot of us creatives in negative ways and positive. But I think that my hypersensitization has been through the roof. And I'm realizing how all those endorphins, all that oxytocin, that's a positive one. What's the negative? Cortisol. All the cortisol that's in my body, literally still in my body. I have this pain that is all just stress, basically, like a AIDA, we call them in Spanish. And that's because my body is tense and it won't relax because my mind is still trying to do this and that and the other, reconcile and figure things out and win and succeed and basically not surrender. Whereas I've realized that happiness isn't something to pursue for us creatives, maybe for most of us, because it keeps us from enjoying the moment. And once again, we are future-minded people, so it's a gift. And like Will.i.am was saying, there are neurons, there are protons, and there are electrons, right? I forget. I did take physics in school. And his point is that not to compromise yourself or to maybe stop being yourself, but to learn, of course, how to be a better you. And so he considers himself a proton, I believe. I don't know. Proton is positive, right? Neutron is negative, and electron is the whole thing combined, I believe, right? You can let me know in the chat. But his point is that he says how he and his girlfriend went to the beach, and she wanted to just sunbathe and lay out, and he wanted to go explore the caves. And then the guy interviewing him saying, well, maybe you should have done what she wanted. And he was saying, well, no, that's not a relationship. She's not loving who I really am. And I agree with that, but at the same time, you do have to compromise. And maybe you lay out for a while and you go explore for a while. That's what our success, my wife and I, our key to success has been, is compromise, loving each other. But at the same time, I totally understand. And I agree with them. For us creatives who always feel less than, unaccepted, weird, strange, not linear enough, not engineer enough, not architect enough, not accountant enough, whatever it is, we feel like the odd man out. And so for us to be ourselves with people that we love is very important so that we can continue to contribute to the world. I mean, who would ever want Will.i.am to stop making music, or Kanye or Timbaland or Prince when he was around? Of course, Sting, Post Malone, whoever. Of course, Mac Miller. Rest in peace, all these guys. Why would we want any of them to stop being creatives? We want them to keep creating because they make our world beautiful. People want me to keep creating and being me because I make things beautiful. I challenge the system. I make things as they should be, not as they are or whatever. You know, I improve things. I maximize talents. But at the same time, as I said, the cost can be high. The cost of loneliness, cost of having less success, or really not wanting any more successes. When that drug is used up, the drug of success and failure, then what else is there? Well, as I'm learning, is community and love and relationship, for no apparent reason, but simply to be, just to be. No apparent reason, no other reason than just to be with others. Just the power and the safety of the pack. It's not good to be alone. Jesus, God said it. It's not good to be alone for a man. And yes, your wife, yes, your kids, but the pack is so important. I don't have a pack. I've had it for seasons, but then as I said, I release the pack. I let go of the pack. I get, I don't know what it is. I either get tired or upset, or I give in to myself. And so this idea of feelings is very important, to not measure the temperature of the food every time. One of the things that I realized, a bad habit of mine, is every day I measure how happy do I feel. And I'm not against feelings. Once again, we are feelers. We are heart types. It would be like saying to an engineer to stop thinking and measuring things, or to a doer to stop working out every day. These are just natural gifts that we each have. But I think as creatives, we're definitely condemned and criticized because the world is not made for creatives, because we're in this practical world that measures numbers and fitness and bank accounts and how big your church is and how many likes and comments you have. So us creatives, we suffer in silence, creating without the externals. And sometimes people get the externals, right? A lot of creatives, of course. And then the rest of us who don't, we're then thinking, well, maybe I'm not a good creative. And yet none of that matters. Like Will.i.am says, we don't create for success. We create because it just spills out of us. That's exactly how I feel. It just comes out of me. I just can't stop creating no matter what's happening. But the idea of happiness and of stop measuring happiness is very important. As I said, because of loss and job and money and all these typical things, I wake up every day still these days measuring and then saying I'm unhappy because I don't have the money, the fame, the status that a three longs for. And so I'm realizing how damaging that is, because as I said, it keeps us from being in relationship with life, with God, with what we do have. It's not even about what we do have or not. It's not even about contentment, although all that stuff fits. It's truly about measuring another thing and changing your whole perspective, rewiring our neurons, as my wife, as Rochelle would say, is new connections. And so instead of measuring myself against happiness, which really, or unhappiness, which really stems from I'm not perfect enough or successful enough, back to the three, instead, what if I measure myself in terms of happiness as how many relationships I'm in with, and how many people I'm in relationship with? Oh, they bug me, I don't like them, they're ugly, they're basically judging them, thinking that I'm better than them, and so therefore I withdraw. I remember I had a friend, dear friend, John, who came out to visit his family. He lives in Colorado, and I was at the time recently unemployed. It was maybe about a year ago or 2 years ago this month, and I, out of shame, he's a dear friend who I truly love to this day, him and his wife and children, and I didn't want to meet with him. I defaulted on that friendship because I felt such shame over my lack of success. I wasn't willing or able to say, yeah, John, I'm broken. I've lost it all. And my shame kept me from having that relationship. And now it's still there, but, you know, people obviously get the point and they stop reaching out. That's the danger of being a three, a creative. Is you stop connecting because you're not winning, because you're measuring yourself up against a winning and losing standard. What if instead I measured myself against connections? How deep are my connections? How many people am I connecting with every week? Being that I already have it all. And then maybe I would wake up every morning saying, not that I feel happy, but I'm connected, because fickle feelings, right? Feelings come and go. And sometimes I may not feel happy, but I am connected. And as my mother-in-law, what would I wish for? She's now with Jesus. I would wish that she would stop taking the temperature of her food, because reality is that her food was fine. But her psychosis, her mind, her nervous energy, like mine, like yours perhaps, we're constantly measuring how we're feeling. I'm not saying that it's not good to feel or to measure how you feel, because there are times that, yeah, you need a therapist, you need maybe medication, you need to change some habits, so yes. But when it is psychotic, when it is a neurotic neurosis, a constant, I can never feel happy unless I have these things, in my case, success and money and a perfect body and you name it, then it can be damaging. And so what I am learning these days in therapy and in my own growth and in prayer and conversations is, I guess, two things. First is the power of connection and how I need to invest heavily, millions of dollars, all my money into relationships at last, connections. And then second, the power of stop measuring feelings, stop taking the temperature. And to every time that happens, which is natural for us creatives and feelers and heart types, is to say, nope, that's the wrong question. It's not, am I happy? Instead, is, am I connected? Am I connected? Am I pursuing connections? Am I in relationship with people that I love and who love me? Am I responding to those emails? Am I reaching out to those friends? Am I saying, yes, please come over? So speaking of that, I have a good friend who we went through some things here and there, but we're good friends. And he's coming over this week. We're going to just simply talk. And that's a beautiful thing. Maybe I mentioned it. Another friend, yeah, reached out this morning out of nowhere. I haven't seen him in maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And he just said, hey, Trig, why don't we, bring the band back and I'll bring blah, blah. Yeah, I already mentioned that. And I said, let's do it. And so these are things that in my own devices, left to my own devices of success, I would say, what's the point? Or what project are we working on? Or whatever it is. But now it's more about, you're my friend. And I enjoyed being with you back then, and I know I will enjoy being with you today. And even if I'm failing, meaning I'm not at my best, I can still be in relationship with you and just simply share my life with you. and let you sit with me like Job and his friends. And to be honest, because I am at a better place, I do feel more ready to welcome people. And obviously grief is grief. I mean, we just went through the loss of Rochelle's dad and mom in the last 2 years. Her dad just February 2nd, literally in 6 months, a couple days. I went through my job loss. It'll be in 2 weeks, 2 years ago. And now our beautiful dog is not well. And so there's been a lot of pain. And so it's normal to kind of gauge or to ask yourself, how am I feeling? But as I said, for us feeling types, that can be a very dangerous question. If you're constantly saying, no, I'm not happy, no, I'm not happy. And so as we grieve, as we go through some of these things, I thank God for his love in our lives, his grace. I thank God for the challenges, for my pains and my aches and my imperfections. And I thank God for this channel, whether one person or zero people watch it. Like Will I Am says, we create because we just create. So what we do. And I don't have a ton of verses or a sermon to preach. A lot of it is just simply me being here in an honest way and helping people, developing community. I have, as I mentioned, not only a few friends, but also a few clients that I coach with these same topics, some in their 20s, some at midlife. And it's really not about money. This is not about selling courses. This is about relationship. I truly love the people that I connect with every week. I thank you for being a part of my community because we are exactly the same. We're all go-getters. We are either 3, 7, 9s in the Enneagram. We are, or 8s, I guess. We are people who love to create, who deal with anxiety and fear and depression and all these things. And we don't want to get too low, but we sometimes do. And we evaluate the wrong things and we overeat and we gain weight and lose weight and look great and feel bad and all that stuff, right? The ups and downs. And I thank God for our wives, our husbands, who love us, back to the whole neutron, neuron, proton thing, who love us for who we are. And yeah, of course we compromise and we grow and I change and adapt and I keep growing so that Rochelle isn't always having to put up with all this and I'm not always down. We creatives aren't always at our lowest. Most of the time, especially threes, we're at our peak, and that's why people love us and can't get enough of us. But then when we go through these low times, it's hard for people to want to be around us because they want the shiny person back, and we're not shining at this point. We're dealing with stuff, and that's okay. And I thank God for all the ups and downs. And maybe I'll close with this. The last few months I've been interviewing at this one place, and it didn't happen. But I met two people, and certainly one who was a really wonderful connection. And I texted him a few times, emailed him, and then I saw him out and about at a coffee shop. And we hugged, and we don't even know each other except for interviews, you know, which, you know, is pretty stale and more of a professional thing. But we hugged like we liked each other. And I'm considering, should I reach out to him and just hang out, invite him to my house, and no longer about a job, but just about friendship and about relationship. And we have a lot in common because I know he's going through some things that I've been through and vice versa. He's a little younger than me. Maybe I can be a mentor to him. Who knows, without job stuff and all that mess. Perhaps. Who knows, right? Maybe God has something in mind. Maybe not. My point is that that's a growth edge for me, a growing edge for me. Not seeing this young man as just someone to get a good reference from, but instead someone that can be a friend, because we do have a lot in common and maybe we can connect. And who knows what God can do through that friendship that has nothing to do with jobs or success or status, but just more with community and with, what is it again? The advocate, is that what the six is? The loyalist, man, talk about a foreign word to me. I'm not a very loyal person. I'm very loyal at home with my wife and kids, but it seems like in friendships, I have a long way to go, definitely. So I apologize to all the people that I haven't been loyal to over the last 30 years that have deeply loved me, and I am here to say, give me another chance. I want to change. I want to grow old with you, my friends. Colorado and here and there and everywhere, people that I love and have loved me. I'm not dying. I'm not in danger. So this is not like some crazy end of life request. I just simply want to change some things in my life. to do the next 30 years of life, whatever God gives me, with people that I'm loyal to and with friendships that are definitely, that are genuine and are true. And to quiet down those feelings of success and of failure and of measuring how many dollars or how many pounds of muscle I have. And instead to say, Lord, I love you, I love my wife and kids, and I love the body of Christ that you've surrounded me with, a community of believers, the people that I get to coach. And thank you, Lord, for that, regardless of success. If you would like my coaching, if you relate to this and want to be a part of my community, there's my dear Daisy. You know, she's not well, but I'm glad she's barking. But if you would like to be a part of my community along with Daisy, my dog, please click on the bottom link, davidtrader.com/coaching, and we can get you, we can get started with you meeting. I recommend twice a week for 12 months, twice a week for 12 weeks to get you started back on the right track of building your mind, your mindset, your success. If you are kind of at midlife, to help you rediscover yourself. If you're a younger person dealing with fear, shame, with relationship issues, with some anxiety, to help you with that so that you can get back on track being the best version of yourself. Thank you again for being here. I'll see you next time. Adios. Adios.